Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 4. In verse 3, the Word of God says, "And when the tempter came to him," and this took place right after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, "when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made to bread.' And he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' And then Jesus said to him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve.'" I love Jesus' response. It is written, get lost. That's how you deal with the devil. It is written, get lost. Now, what I want to look at here with you for a few minutes this morning is what actually took place there. In verse 3, the tempter came to him and he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread." If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread. He targeted something. Now, we understand why he would say, command these stones be made into bread, because we were just told he fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he was hungry. And that's when the enemy came in, when there was a need. And he said, command that these stones be made into bread if you're the Son of God. And he targeted something, and superficially he targeted the area of need, but really he targeted something else. He used the area of need to target Jesus' identity. If thou be the Son of God. Now, he knew very well that Jesus was the Son of God. The demons knew him, and they said, "We know who you are, Jesus. You're the Son of God." He knew very well that Jesus was the Son of God, but he said, "If you are the Son of God." He's targeting his identity. He did the same thing before. He did the same thing to Adam and Eve, especially Eve. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field in verse 1 of Genesis 3, which the Lord hath made, and he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He's also targeting her identity, but in a different way. Notice what Satan decides to pull out. And Jesus, because he was the living Word, he tried to twist the Word. What was he doing? He was challenging that identity. He was twisting the Word of God, but he was the living Word of God. And he misrepresented the Logos to challenge the living Word. Notice what he didn't tell him. He didn't tell him in Romans 8:37, "In all these things we are more than conquerors, Jesus." No, he targeted the area of his need to get him to question who he was. And he did the very same thing with Eve. He said to her, "Does it make any sense in the original language that you shall not eat this tree of the garden? You can eat anyone, but not this one. Does that make any sense, Eve?" What he's saying to her is this: you're not really able to understand, Eve. You're not really able to understand. Yes, you may be created by God. Yes, you may be taught by God. But you're not really able to understand. After all, you're just Eve. And isn't it true, Eve, that you really desire to be as gods? In verse 5. You want to be like the Elohim, the angels? Isn't that what you really want, Eve? So you're not really all you ought to be. And if you are all you ought to be, then answer this. Does it make any sense? It's an insidious question. Here's the reason why Jesus was asked that question by the devil. Because the devil wanted an answer. The whole thing the devil wants is dominion. That's been true since Isaiah 14, 13, and 14. The devil wants dominion. He wants to be the top guy. That's been true since Ezekiel 28, 18. That's when Isaiah 14, 13, and 14 took place, was Ezekiel 28, 18. It was one event where he said, I will five times against God. Five being the number of grace, I will eliminate grace. And I will be above grace. And then he trafficked merchandise, and what do you think he did? He accused God. Why? Because he is the accuser. So he accused God, and he did it in the only way that he could. He did it by challenging them with an angelic version of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because that is his tree. That's the fruit that he bears. And so he challenged them, but what was the purpose? The purpose was to take dominion. Can you imagine what would have happened if Jesus did not answer the way that he did? Here's the thing about answering the devil. If Jesus answered him, then he is submitting to him. If he submits to him, then the devil's initiation became governmental in Jesus' life. Then God is now submitted to Satan. And Satan is governmental in God's life. All the hope of humanity would have been gone. All the hope of heaven would have been gone. He would have got his five I wills. I will be as the Most High. I will be above the stars of God. He would have gotten those things. But he is exceedingly crafty. And so he knows he can't come at it straightforward. He challenges the identity in order to replace the identity. It is unbelievably important that we operate in the right things. What Satan does is this. We need to operate in spiritual authority that comes from God. And Satan tries to replace God's spiritual authority in our lives with a subjective identity. Because if I have a subjective identity, Satan can become governmental in our lives through his initiations. And so for a few moments we're going to talk about spiritual authority versus subjective identity. This is where spiritual authority comes from. Keep in mind that authority is that which is governmental. That's why it's authority. It is governmental. So the Word of God, resident in our frame of reference, determines everything about us. If it's in my frame of reference, then it's the foundation of my thinking. And it will determine my identity, self-identity, my self-image. It'll determine what my emotions respond to. It'll determine what my mind thinks about. It'll determine what I'm conscious of. And it will determine what my volition does. What we've just identified is it will determine all the activity of the soul. When the Word of God is in my frame of reference, that Word of God starts to regulate what I think, what I do, how I feel, who I am. That is spiritual authority. It is governmental in my life. So I have the Word of God, I think with the Word of God, and the Word of God governs me. Now here's the thing Satan does. In order to get me away from spiritual authority, he has to change my identity. Now, why do I turn to the Word of God in complete trust? Because I respond in a childlike faith. In order to respond in a childlike faith, I have to have the right identity. How's that? Because faith works by love, number one, right? Faith works by love. However, how does faith work by love? I have to recognize that I'm the beloved of God. I have to recognize that I have some value to God. I have to recognize that my merit before God is not merit based in self. That in and of myself I have no merit, but I still have great value to God, and simply because I am His beloved, I have great value, I have great merit. I have to recognize that I'm one with the Savior. That I'm one new man. I have to recognize that I'm already accepted in the Beloved. I have to recognize that I'm already seated above in heavenly places because I am a member in particular in the body of Christ. When those things are true, receiving the Word of God in childlike faith is very easy to do. Because it is simply receiving it on the basis of the reality of who God is and who I am. And the relationship that exists between God and me. And so, I have this identity. People who find it difficult to receive the Word of God are often people who don't have a well-established identity. And so, if I have a well-established identity in Christ, to receive the thoughts of Christ, to receive the mind of Christ is not a problem. So we receive the Word of God, we believe the Word of God, we mix faith with what we hear, in other words, we unify what we hear with faith, and it's very easy for us. It's based on our identity. When I have the right identity, then I can have the right authority in my life. I am the body of Christ. My hand never fights against my mind. Some people's hand doesn't cooperate with their mind, and that's some sort of a usually neurological problem. But even with those people, their hand attempts to cooperate. Consider, for example, a Parkinson's patient. A person with Parkinson's disease doesn't have full control over their body, but their body still tries to cooperate with their mind. Albeit, there is an issue present, and that issue blocks and hinders the full cooperation. What happens with us is Satan brings in issues. Positionally, we are already the body of Christ. So Satan brings in issues. And the one that he likes to bring in particular, because of the nature of who he is, which is accuser of the brethren. Remember, the word Satan means accuser. In Revelation 12:10, he accuses the brethren day and night. That is his ministry, to accuse. So as the accuser of the brethren, when he went to Eve, he accused God's nature in order to challenge Eve's identity. He accused both. He accused Jesus' identity. He said, Jesus, you're not really who you think you are. Why? Because if you're not who you think you are, then you'll do what I'm asking you to do. Then you'll try to prove it. Then you're going to become available. Then you're going to answer me. All I really want from you is an answer. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned into bread. You are hungry, aren't you? You are the Son of God, aren't you? Take care of your need. If Jesus had responded in any way other than that, then Satan would have become governmental. And Jesus' dominion would have been lost. Eve did respond, and Adam responded to Eve, and dominion was lost. Now, in order to have that right identity, we can't respond in anything but God orientation, and this is why. Our proper identity is found in Ephesians 2:15 and 16 and 2 Corinthians 5:17. The process of it is found in Romans 8:29. At the cross in Ephesians 2, we become one with our Savior. That is an extremely important part of our identity. We are one with our Savior. As a result of that, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creature, a new species, brand new, newly made. That species did not exist in the temporal realm prior to Jesus' crucifixion. But when He was crucified on the cross, we became one with Him. We became one body, and this is why we are covered in the blood, even though the blood has never literally, tangibly touched our skin. But literally it has, because we are the literal body of Christ. You may say, well, how can I be the literal body of Christ? Isn't that just positional? Isn't that just a theological reality? You don't understand the nature of eternity, nor the nature of the temporal, nor the nature of the body, nor the nature of Christ. God is spirit. But the spirit has a body. The same spirit that indwelled Christ indwells us. Peter said, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are His abode. We are where He is located. We are that body. Now, Jesus was fully God, albeit fully man. We are fully man, but we have the fullness of God living inside of us. The difference is, really, in the most practical terms, we have an old sin nature and Jesus did not. But beyond that, there's not a great deal of difference. Yes, we are in and of ourselves not God, but God is living in us. And if He is living in us, then we are His body. God is living in the fullness of the body of Christ in every born-again believer. And so we are, in fact, the body of Christ. And it took place at the cross. And it had to take place at the cross if we were to be cleansed by the blood. If our sins were to be buried with Him, then we already had to be one with Him. This is our identity. We're the new man, not the old. Satan says, if you really are the new man, if I really am the new man? Yes, if you really are the new man, then do whatever. This is how it works. We were created lower than the angels. Even though we are the fullness of the body of Christ, we were created lower than the angels. Shows you the humility of God. And just like with Eve, He says, okay, prove yourself in a manner of speaking. In Eve's case, He said, well, you want to be as the Elohim, right? As God's lowercase g, speaking of angels. You want to be as the angels, right? I mean, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will have wisdom like the angels have. Isn't that what you really want, Eve? And He says something similar to us. He says, isn't it that you want your position to line up to your experience? And what He tempts us with, in order to do what we desire naturally, because we have the Holy Spirit fellowshipping with our human spirit, we have this desire to be the nature of God. We have a desire to be right before God. And what Satan does is he twists that desire so that he takes away the authority of the Holy Spirit and replaces it with his initiations. So he challenges our identity. And he says, well, yeah, you may have received Christ, but you still have this problem, don't you? You may have received Christ, but you still smoke, don't you? You may have received Christ, but you still have issues with lust patterns, don't you? You may have received Christ, but hey, you just failed, didn't you? If you really are the body of Christ, then perform better. If you really are the body of Christ, shouldn't you be obeying the laws? the Ten Commandments and the 603 other ones, if you're even aware of those? If you really are the body of Christ, shouldn't you behave like the body of Christ? He'll attack you even in your call that way. Let's say you're a song leader. And maybe you're a little bit human. I say, well, quite a song leader. Some leader you are, or an elder, some elder. Hello, elder. If you're an elder, or if you're a pastor, come on, pastor. Shouldn't you be behaving like a pastor? You know what your response needs to be at that point? It is written, get lost. It is written, get lost. You see, he attacks your identity, whether it's in your call or personal or whatever he needs to do. He attacks your identity so that it can remove spiritual authority. And then he replaces spiritual authority with his initiations. Imagine somebody who will actually submit to that. Wow, I really should do better. And they start trying to apply the law, and it's with some difficulty, because we're not made to have our righteousness by the law, including other people's law, by the way. But say they try to apply the law. Okay, I should do better. The Bible says, do this or don't do that. Oh, I got to remember that. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. And now I'm starting to eat at the tree of knowledge, you get an evil, at the good side, of course. The good side is just as deadly as the evil side. But it's the good side, of course. And so he says, hey, if you are an elder, shouldn't you be like this? If you are a Christian, not a very good Christian, are you? What does that even mean? But he doesn't go that far with it because he wants to keep things a little bit ambiguous. He does that to pastors sometimes. Well, you're the pastor. Shouldn't you be like this? Once in a while you hear stuff like that. Well, you are a pastor. Sometimes people want you to perform in some religious way. Well, you are the pastor. Hey, pastor, shouldn't you be like a pastor? Maybe I'm like the pastor that David was. How would you accept that? Maybe I'll be the pastor that David was. He said he proclaimed God's word in the congregation. Oh, Pastor David. Hello, Pastor David. Should you really be having wives like that? You know what? None of that stuff was an issue to God. What was an issue to God was this. David's heart. But Satan doesn't tell you that part. So challenge your identity, and if you respond to the challenge, it becomes governmental. Now the throne of iniquity does work mischief by the law in Psalm 94:20. And so when he challenges your identity, he tries to get you to apply a standard so that you can maintain your identity in your own eyes. And now you are at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now here's the thing about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis 2:17, God gave the prohibition against it. He said, you're not going to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because in the day you do, you will surely die. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge is the word deat. And the word itself means knowledge or cunning. Cunning in the sense of cleverness. Eve wanted to have knowledge, and she wanted to be clever like the angels. And that's why he lured her with that. But it's knowledge or cleverness. Now here's the thing. The word knowledge has a root, yada. And that word means knowledge through the empirical senses. And so the tree of knowledge of good and evil is knowledge through sight, through hearing, through whatever sense you may choose to gain knowledge by. So when Satan wants you to be, for example, your call, an elder or a pastor or what have you, or a song leader or a teacher or whatever it is, a servant of any sort, when he tries to get you to evaluate your performance, evaluate how you're doing, evaluate your suitability, evaluate your identity in that call, evaluate according to anything other than the fact that you already are what God has made you to be, then you're going to try to live up to it in your own estimation according to an external standard. When you do that, you're living in the tree of knowledge, which is applying some form of law and saying, how do I measure up? And if I measure up well on a certain day, great, and maybe another day I don't measure up so well, I must be carnal, I'm not measuring up so well. And so you keep trying to do better and do better and do better and do better, and you become so self-oriented and so self-occupied at the good side of the tree of knowledge, of course with the best of motives, that you can't even hear a word from God. And no longer is God governmental in your life, but Satan's initiations and accusations are. And he's pulling strings like you would pull on a puppet. Because you've responded. Eve's mistake was response. God doesn't challenge your identity. God establishes it. God says you're accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted in the Beloved. God says you are already the one new man. God says you're already seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God. God says you're already in Christ. This is your identity, God says. This is why in John 17:17, the Word of God says, sanctify them according to thy word. Thy word is truth. Now, interesting thing about that word sanctify. It's hagiazon in the original language. And it's an aorist active imperative. Now, it does mean to set apart, okay? But the grammar really tells a story. It's an aorist active imperative. Aorist makes it a timeless reality. Active means, God, you do it. But the really amazing thing here is it's in the imperative mood. It is a dogmatic command. Now, how does Jesus command God? Jesus is God. So when it comes to God, it's not a dogmatic command as in the way that we think of somebody giving a dogmatic command. What it is a dogmatic reflection of predetermination according to Romans 8:29, where we were predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. So what He's saying is it is predetermined that you should be set apart by the truth of God. How am I going to be set apart by the truth of God? He guides you. The Holy Spirit guides you in all truth. And so we get the Word of God, we get the truth of God, and the Holy Spirit guides us in these things. It's no longer a question of self-orientation, self-occupation, or self-effort. It's a question of God has already established to you who you are. You're the body, you're accepted, you're seated above, you're in Christ, you are the new creature. And now, establish your thinking through truth. The truth of God, the Word of God, appropriately applied by the Holy Spirit in your life, becomes that frame of reference. And that frame of reference becomes governmental. And now you have real spiritual authority in your life. But Satan says, well, if you are, excuse me, a great elder, excuse me, pastor, excuse me, teacher, you know what? Get lost. Satan, get lost. Only a good response to Satan, get lost. See, when Jesus said, it is written, he still kept coming back. That's the thing. That's the only problem with even it is written. It is written. And what about this? It is written. And what about this? Get lost. So just start with where he gets lost. Excuse me. Well, you know what? Get lost. And all of a sudden, you reaffirm your identity in Christ. You see, if you're going to knock my identity, just get lost. Get lost. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't try to justify it. He didn't try to say, oh yeah, I really should do better. I'd really like if you gave me all the kingdoms. I am, after all, Savior, Son of God, Lord of Lords, and King of Kings. I really do need you, O Satan, the fallen one, the loser of the universe, to give me all the kingdoms that I've created. But you know, that's exactly what people do. That's what Eve did. Eve was already in a position where she was receiving doctrine directly from God every single day in the cool of the day. And he would meet her and Adam there, and he would teach them. She already had all the wisdom that she needed. She wanted the wisdom of the angels because somehow her identity was challenged, and she wasn't an angel. But she wasn't an angel because she wasn't made to be an angel. You know, the amazing thing about my car, it works like a car. And when my car works like a car, it really works its best. A couple of years ago, I was driving down the highway and I saw a guy get a little too close to a tractor trailer, and he clipped his bumper and it lifted the guy's car onto two wheels, and he operated like the car was a motorcycle. Now, fortunately for him, it landed the right direction. But for that little season when it was operating like a motorcycle, you know, it wasn't working nearly as good as a car works. It was kind of all over the place. But my car works best when it's a car. I noticed that the hammer in my house works best as a hammer. I suppose you could try to use it as a spatula, but it's not going to do the job as well as a spatula. But then again, if I try to drive a nail with a spatula, it doesn't work nearly as well as the hammer. God made Eve to be who she was. But she wasn't content with that when her identity was challenged. And when she responded to the challenge of identity, she could no longer function in the way that she was designed. And that's where they became self-conscious, when they stopped functioning the way that they were designed. And when I stop functioning the way that I'm designed, well, guess who's in charge of my life? Because I'm not designed to have any authority in my life save the Holy Spirit's authority. And so we operate outside of our design because Satan intimidates us. And he says, shouldn't you be more like this if you are all that after all? Get lost. Well, you're not very spiritual, are you? Get lost. Well, you certainly could have done that better, couldn't you? Get lost. And he throws all these things at you because Satan wants you to lose your identity. Because if he can establish your identity in a subjective identity, self-defined, regulated by him and apart from God's identity for you, then he can have dominion in your life. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? Well, you're a Christian, aren't you? Next time somebody says, well, you're not a very good Christian, says, get lost. Get behind me, Satan. Well, that's a little harsh, don't you think? Now I'm offended. Good. You need to be. Maybe finally you'll get lost. Which is exactly what Jesus says to Satan every single time. Get lost. In some form or another, he always says to him, get lost. Don't ever allow the enemy to challenge your identity. He will try it and he'll be subtle. And if I don't challenge your identity, he says, how will you ever get better? I just want you to be better. I want you to be good at it. How's that? Well, you have to look at the way you're doing things. Evaluate them by sight. How do they look? What do they seem like? And then you can start responding to those sight evaluations to make sure that you're completely all the way over at the good side of the tree of knowledge. At the good side of Satan's tree. Religious people love the tree of knowledge of good and evil at the good side. And they'll be outraged at the evil side, or at least what they perceive at the evil side. And they insist on the good side. And God says, stop being self-oriented and follow me. See the difference? It's not about how well anybody's doing. The orientation God has is not a human orientation. If I'm to have God's authority in my life, I need God's orientation in my life. And the only way that comes is through the right frame of reference. Now, having the understanding intellectually is going to make no difference whatsoever. I also have to have humility that's brought by a cross. A cross is fundamentally this. Because I'm not self-oriented, I'm God-oriented. And it's produced by the Holy Spirit as He's guiding me in the word that I've received. That's how it becomes a frame of reference. Other than that, apart from a cross, all the doctrine in the world, I don't care how good it is, it'll simply puff me up. Because it'll be nothing more than the knowledge of the letter. And it won't be in the hand of the Spirit. But when it's in the hand of the Spirit, instead of the regulation of my own intellect, then it becomes a cross in my life. Not because I'm in some self-denial ascetic trip, but because I have the right frame of reference, and the frame of reference is not in self-orientation. It's in God-orientation, because it's God's mind. And then, of course, it regulates my soul, and now I'm in spiritual authority. I don't assess how I'm doing outwardly. I don't assess how well I'm performing. I simply have the mind of Christ. And that's the end of it. That's the key to spiritual authority, having the mind of Christ. Now, Satan never said to Jesus, you're more than a conqueror. He never said to Jesus, my God will supply all your needs, Jesus. You're hungry? God will supply all your needs. Notice, he didn't choose those scriptures. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, Jesus, Philippians 4:19. Now, he kind of shied away from that stuff. He said, well, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself from the top of the temple, and then the angels will take care of you. And he just says, forget it. Can't even talk with you, devil. Get lost. We need to have that same approach. Can't even talk to you, devil. Get lost. There's three things in particular, four things in particular, that Satan uses where he wants us. Number one, he wants us in doubt. Did God really say, did that make any sense whatsoever? He wants us in doubt. But in Numbers 23 and verse 19, the Word of God says, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and shall he not do it? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Satan will project doubt. Does it make any sense? He doesn't necessarily say to you, God didn't say it. He says, did God say it? Did he say that? Does it make sense? Use your natural understanding. Does it make sense? Does it make sense that you could really trust him? Does that make sense? I mean, you can't even see him. Does it make sense? Get lost, Satan. Then he'll take you into places of your need. And he'll say to you, well, you need this, don't you? You're a human being. Well, this is just normal. This is just natural. Young people, a sex drive, I mean, isn't that from God, a sex drive? And after all, you're human. And after all, God designed you with it. Well, shouldn't you just go and fulfill it? Never mind the fact that you're not married. Shouldn't you just go and fulfill it? I mean, it's a natural drive. It's your biological thing. It's completely normal. Look at the animals. How many animals do you see in holy matrimony? Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Well, yeah, I mean, so, I mean, it's completely reasonable. I mean, that's how nature is. I mean, look at that. I mean, cattle. I don't see too many married cattle. Who needs to be married? Everybody who gets divorced got it because they got married. Just satisfy your drives. They're natural. Satisfy your desires. Why not? What do you say to Satan with that one? Get lost, Satan. Get lost. Well, you need it, don't you? Well, you know what? God shall supply all my needs. God will supply all my needs. Well, you need to eat, don't you? I mean, forget it. If you can't make it to church, I mean, forget it. You got to eat, don't you? You got to be responsible. You got to put a roof over your head. I mean, you got kids. You got a family to take care of, don't you? After all, if you move out of your car, you might make $30,000 a year more, wouldn't you? I mean, come on, let's be real here. Nicer house, bigger house, nicer friends, nicer car. Kid finally can go to college or something. You won't be so worried about how you're going to pay your electric bill. It's a need, isn't it? My God shall supply all your needs. All of them. I love the word all in the original language. It means all. All your needs. All your needs. Another thing he loves to do is condemn. Well, you weren't quite like that. You weren't quite right. Shouldn't you be getting it right? Hello? Condemnation is one of his favorite ways of attacking identity. Well, you shouldn't be human. You have a call. And after all, humans don't have a call. Demigods do. You should be a demigod. We know you're not God. I mean, yes, you are just human. But still, you shouldn't be human. You shouldn't have an expression of your humanity. You shouldn't be the way humans are because you have a call. You're a Christian, aren't you? You shouldn't fail. You should never. You should always get things exactly right because, after all, well, the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, isn't He? And if you fail, well, obviously you weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. Obviously you were being carnal. Obviously you were being selfish. Obviously, you know, that's nothing more than a pronunciation of guilt. And God says there is no pronunciation of guilt in Romans 8:1. So if the thought comes like that, then who's the liar? Get lost, Satan. Get lost. All these things people desire. Young people, it seems to be more obvious than with the older people, but older people are the same way, just more clever about it. They have desires in their heart. Older people, oh, I desire to go to a place where it's not going to be so uncomfortable and cold, and I'm old and my bones ache and I just don't want to be around it, and want to be a little bit more pleasant, want it to be a little more comfortable. The younger people are more, their bones don't ache, but they, I say, well, I got to find my way in life. I have these needs. You know what? Word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God in Matthew 6:30, and He'll provide those needs for you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Satan doesn't say to you, seek first the kingdom of God and God will supply you with all your needs. He says, well, it's a need, isn't it? Well, my God will supply that need. It's that simple. My God will supply that need. Seek first the kingdom. But you know, the older folks need to seek first the kingdom of God every bit as much as the younger folks do. Older folks sometimes say, yeah, those were the days. Still are. Seek first the kingdom of God. I don't know why, but for some reason, older people sometimes feel like age is an excuse for carnality. Well, I'm older and wiser now, and I know that I don't really have to do things the way God said. I can kind of do them whatever the way I want. Well, your age brought you carnality. How old is God? Make you feel like a young buck again, doesn't it? How old is God? You see, here's the thing. Satan will bring you these things. And it's really there to remove God's authority, but he does it by giving you a subjective identity. Well, I'm older now. Subjective identity. Well, I have needs. Subjective identity. Well, isn't that normal? I mean, I'm a human being. Subjective identity. But God wants spiritual authority, not subjective identity. And so the Word becomes my frame of reference, and now I have spiritual authority. Subjective identity is always, always a road to some form of bondage. Spiritual authority is always a road to freedom. Amen?